Across the Desk
with Clement Maniatela
on 702.
So on our Across the Desk feature this morning, I am launching, I'm hosting police detectives on Across the Desk. These are people who have really achieved great success in their careers through ensuring convictions of dangerous criminals, from insurance killings to serial rapists. These are detectives that have really gone above and beyond the call of duty to ensure that criminals are brought to book. And what I want us to do this morning is to find out more about the work that they do, and also just some of the cases that they've managed to see successful prosecution in, how difficult those cases were. So in studio with me this morning, we've got Captain Keshi Mabunda, who is an investigator with the SAPS. Thank you so much for making time for us, Captain Mabunda. Good morning. The mics are on?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. So thank you for making time for us, Captain Mabunda. We've got Sergeant Glenda Matebula, who's an investigator in the Family Violence, Child Protection and Sexual Offences Investigation Unit in Tzaneen, in Limpopo, who's joining us via Zoom. Sergeant Matebula, thank you so much for making time for us. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement.
Thank you for your time. We also have in studio Sergeant Mulwandwa Rapakadi, who is a member of the SAPS's Gauteng Serial and Electronic Crime Investigations Unit. Sergeant Rapakadi, thank you for making time for us as well. Good morning.
Morning, Clement.
So I want us to start off with what's really inspired you guys to get into the police. I'll start with you, Captain Mabunda. What is it for you that inspired you to get into this kind of work?
First, Clement, just greeting to the listeners of 702. First, it was just a job, as you. But I became interested when I'm inside the working as a police officer, more especially when I became a detective from 2005 to date. Yes.
So it was just that as a job, and as you went through, you started falling in love with it.
That's correct. I became interested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And for you, Sergeant Rapakadi?
Yeah, I also just joined as a member of the force, and then while inside, in fact, I did not even work long as a uniform member.
Uh-huh.
I went to detective. I spent a lot of my time in the detective.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, and then I like it because I like interacting with the people.
Ah, wonderful. And Sergeant Matebula, what about you? And because normally, you know, as much as we do see female police officers, normally when it comes to the kind of investigative work, sometimes there are warnings that, oh, are you sure this is what you want to get into as a female officer, the risks that are involved? What was the inspiration for you?
I was inspired by my late mother. She was always listening to radio news, and she will tell me about crimes that is happening around South Africa. She's the one who informed me about the vacant position in the police department, actually. Mm. So I took a wise decision to send my application for employment. And that was the day which I told myself that I'm going to be part of the police officers who are fighting crimes and protect our community and the county as a whole.
Got it. Okay. So, Captain Mabunda, you are known for the successful conviction of a former police sergeant, Rosemary Ndlovu, who had gone and lied through insurance and facilitated the killings of her relatives so that she can claim from insurance. Was that the case? Was that the most difficult case you've ever worked on?
No, I had a lot of cases.
Are there difficult cases
more than this? Cases which I got convictions. But this one of Rosemary, it was a special one, more especially we're dealing with one of our own. So that's what caught a lot of attention. But I had a lot of cases, very difficult to solve, but which I became successful. Yes.
How long did it take you to crack this case?
Rosemary's case took me 3 years.
3 years?
3 years.
Sure.
Yeah,
you have to have a lot of patience then as a detective.
Yes, you know, like you're dealing with someone who knows the system. So there's a stage whereby I had to, even the docket, it was not even at a police station. I kept it somewhere else. More especially after she came and threatened me in the office. So I said, no, this information it must be classified, and to make sure that no, she doesn't know what's happening until I effect an arrest.
Yeah. Yes. Were you not scared that she would find people to take you out?
I was smart enough, Clement. Like, after she came to my office and said, after I blocked the payments, the red flag, the ID, she did came to my office and said, why are you doing this? I said, no, it's not me. I didn't do that. Then I changed that case docket, not being in my name, and put it to somebody else. Mm. So that helped a lot, but she could see that I'm no more investigating that case up until she was arrested in 2018.
Yeah.
That's where when she was brought back to me.
Yeah.
And I said to her, now, the case was still with me. It's just that on the name. I knew very well that you're going to check on the system. Then she said, okay. Then from that step, last time I had only three cases. I ran through those cases, charge her, and go on and find other cases as well until they become six.
There's another case you've been investigating as well of another person who has been killing their relatives because of insurance. Is that still on?
Yeah, it's still on. So I won't talk much.
Because the case is
still in court.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Just subject case, yes.
Okay. Sergeant Matebula, in 2011, you received a rape case of a woman who said she had been attacked by an unknown suspect when she was walking home from work in Rakhapani Township in the Bulubedu district. Just help us understand how you were able to crack that case, because I was surprised to read that you actually posed as a potential girlfriend just so that you can catch that wanted rapist. I mean, that's so risky for you.
Yes. On that case, I remember the suspect was not known. But then I had to utilize our resources in order to manage to trace the perpetrator, because there was a cell phone involved at that time. That is how I managed to trace the suspect and bring him to justice.
So how did you do that? Did you pose as a girlfriend? Did you try charm her? How did you get her to trust you?
I posed as a girlfriend,
and
we were communicating on a daily basis. That is when he gained trust in me, and we ended up setting a date for a meeting, and that is how he was arrested.
So you guys arranged a meeting, and then as you guys were sitting there, the police came and arrested him?
Yes.
What did he say to you as that was happening?
He was shocked, and he just said to me, Fikile, are you a police officer? But then it's fine, we'll continue when I come back. That was his actual way.
is he still in jail now?
Yes, he's still in jail.
My goodness.
He was sentenced to life sentence.
Yo, yeah. Sergeant Rapakhadi, you have dealt with a lot of cases. I mean, you are often referred to as a forensic warrior who is a game changer. What cases have you mostly dealt with? What kind of successful prosecutions have been as a result of the cases you were able to crack?
Sorry, I had a lot of cases, but the one that gained attention and is the one that I normally call them the syndicate, those guys, because they were... I had one in 2015.
Mm.
After arresting one in 2015, the very same year, by that time I was not working where I'm working now. Mm. I was working at the station.
Yeah.
So after arresting that guy, then I realized that he was not alone.
Was that for rape?
I was working the robberies.
Oh, so robberies, okay.
Yes, then has robbery and rape.
Okay.
So that is when I discovered that this guy, he was not operating alone. There were three. So I proceeded to look for another one. I found another one. Proceeded to look for another one. So only to notice that, to find out that these guys, there are about six. and they don't know each other. Maybe two knows, because they always operate being three. So the one can operate with all of them, the other one doesn't know each other. You see, you understand, it was not easy. But through the help of the investigative tool like forensics and LCRC, the people who deals with the fingerprints and the ones with the DNAs, they helped a lot to crack down all these guys.
So yeah.
They were all got arrested and sentenced.
Yeah. Yes. I'm told that you've also dealt with serial rapists as well. You've helped get convictions for about 17. Is it 17 serial rapists?
Yeah, I think there are 17 here.
Sure. When you deal with serial rapists, I mean, what psyche? Like, are they normal people or are they just people who have criminal elements and they're just taking advantage of situations, or these are people that are not okay up here?
I think there's a problem upstairs. It's a psychological problem, this thing. Because if you are normal, you can't do that. And these guys, they've got kids, they've got wives, their family, men, others.
So they live normal lives, but...
On the
other side, so it's a double life.
It's a double life. The wife knows that this guy is going around robbing, bringing money, it's fine, but doesn't know that he's raping.
Raping.
So he's robbing people. Normally, it's house robberies.
Mm-hmm.
They can get into the house, rob people their belongings and rape and go.
Sure. Captain Mabunda, how do you get into the investigations? Do you work with a team? Because I imagine that a lot of things have to be done hush-hush. You have to be silent, you know, be secretive in your moves. So do you work with a team? Do you work on your own as a detective? How does it work?
I use a lot of experts. Though most of my cases are very, very much classified. So I rely most on the like insurance companies, the courts, to gather information by applying for Section 205s, utilization of forensics to prove like the case, if I can, I'm busy with it now. The forensic did a very thrilling work there. After I exhumed that body of that young lady, and we found that indeed the disease was poisoned. So you can't work alone. It's a collective work.
So if it's classified, that means only a few people can see that docket and work on it.
Only a few people.
Yeah.
Only like it's my court, my immediate command.
Yeah.
To run, to check everything.
Yeah.
No one else.
Yes. And for you, Sergeant Rapakhadi, when you are working on these cases, do you also work with a team of people? Do you prefer to work alone? And how do you trust the rest of the people you are working with? Because, I mean, some people can act like they are in this, can't they?
Yeah, no. Well, I mostly have people working with. So, but you know, so when the case is assigned to you, you are taking responsibility. You can have the people working, helping, because remember, you cannot arrest a person being alone. You must have people. That's why I'm telling you about the forensics and all those people that are helping. Yeah, but the trust is another story. Because it's not easy to trust an individual, especially this nowadays. It's not easy. So, yeah. But what is important for us is to satisfy our victims or our survivors. They must be satisfied.
Yeah.
So we are trying our level best. That is the mandate of the people that are surrounding me, that we must satisfy these survivors because they are traumatized, they are hopeless, they are helpless. So we have to bring... They must feel that they belong to this community again. They're still individuals, they're still beautiful, they're still worth it. So we're trying to bring them back because some they lost hope. Some they even broke their families. So some we're working on the old cases. When we get there, this person moved on. He's got a family, somebody's wife, and did not disclose to the husband. Now I'm coming here with a 2013 case, 2010 sure. case. So I have to be soft and understand the individual. And then ask for help, because without them we are nothing. Because I'm here, they are their clients. They are our clients. We are helping them. We must give them services.
Yeah, Sergeant Matebula, Has it been difficult to be a female sergeant? Because, I mean, you need to be also like the commander, so to speak, right? If you're working with a team, you must provide direction. You've got to assert yourself. This is what you need here. This is what you're going to need tomorrow. What's been your experience as a sergeant working in the family violence, child protection, and sexual offences investigations unit there in Tzaneen?
Remember, a police job is a team effort. Though in most cases I don't reveal each and every detail of my cases, but then I have a team which is behind me. I'm working with them. Mm-hmm. I cannot do this alone. It is not so easy to work under family violence as a police woman. Because most of our perpetrators are male. So in that matter, we need males to assist us.
Mm.
And that makes my work to be easier.
Yeah, yeah. Has there been a point, Captain Mabunda, where you felt like your life is under threat?
A lot of time, many times, Clement. Even recently, you might have seen that in courts whereby I was under a heavy police car. Mm. So there are threats. There will always be threats. But the job should be done. Because if ever you don't do it, who must do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have been here. We've been assigned to protect and serve. So we have to fulfill our obligation.
Mm.
Yes.
So in the police, they can give you protection as well if your life is under threat?
Yes, they can give you protection. Okay. That's what they're doing to me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. Have you felt like that at some point as well, Sergeant?
Yeah. I remember this other guy. He told me face to face that, you know what, we know where you stay. We know where your kids are attending school.
Mm.
We know where you're attending church. We know where you're coming from home. We know everything about you. Your colleagues told us. So I felt like I cannot drop the baton. Because I'm not here to serve them. And I told that guy that, you know what, I don't know between me and you who's going to pass on in this world first. And if God says yes, then I'll go.
Mm.
But if it's not my time, then I won't go.
Do they mean it, though, every time they threaten you like that and they say, I know where you stay? Or it's just a threat? because if they really want to take you out, they don't need to be telling you.
Yeah, no, because, you know, they come with the offers and then you refuse.
Oh, to drop the
case. And I can believe, because when you go to court, the suspect himself has got the information what is going to happen in court before he come to court.
Where did they get the information?
Through the people we are working with. Be in court, can be whoever. Yeah. So I know I'm sitting in court, but he knew before he comes here.
What's going to happen in that process?
What's going to happen on that day?
My goodness. Sure. I mean, it's so scary now because there are so many stories I've seen where witnesses are killed outside court as they are making their way into court to testify against someone. That is so scary. And I always think, if witnesses can be targeted like that, what about the investigators in the cases, you know?
With the cases.
Yeah. Like, then their lives are that's crazy. Sergeant Matebula, how do you talk to family? Because you need a family that understands the kind of work that you do. I mean, I don't know if I would be comfortable having a partner who's an investigator, because I don't think I'll be able to sleep at night. So how do you have those conversations with your wife? I mean, your husband, your partner, your parents, your children? Do they understand what you do and how dangerous that sometimes can be?
Yes, my husband and my children knows the kind of work that I'm doing, and they're giving me a good support. And whenever I'm not at home, they always check up on me. They call to check if I'm still fine. Am I coping when I'm outside?
Mm.
And they are very proud of me and my achievements so far.
Mm. What makes you happy? Like, what... What is that thing that really softens your heart and reminds you why you must continue the work that you do, Sergeant Matebula? Is it when you have cracked a case? Is it when the arrest has been made? Is it when someone has been successfully prosecuted? Or is it when you see a victim say to you, thank you so much for making sure that this person who has been terrorizing us is now in jail? When you see someone finally see justice?
I become so happy when justice prevails. And putting a smile on the faces of the survivors and their families, as well as seeing them regaining their self-confidence and moving on with their lives in a positive manner, that makes me to rejoice. It makes me to sleep well. And I still have contact with my previous survivors.
Mm.
It doesn't end on the day of the conviction. I continue to talking to them. Some they called me. They become my family. I love them.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's 10:30.
Cross the Desk
with Clement Manyathela
on 7:02.
25 minutes before 11 o'clock on our Cross the Desk feature this morning. I am hosting police investigators. We've got Captain Mabunda in studio with us, together with Sergeant Rapakgadi. We also have Sergeant Matebula with us. If you've got some questions, some inputs, you want to share a message with them, you can give us a call now or send us a WhatsApp voice note. Let's start with Ronald, who's calling us from Four Ways. Ronald, good morning. Hey, Ronald.
Yes, Clement, I just want to, mine is a quick one, just an appreciation for both the station for doing what you guys are doing, but as well as the investigators and I guess I would say the entire SAPS family. Just to appreciate that a lot of the times we don't really, if my experience with SAPS, I can't say I've had good experiences, but the fact that I'm hearing these good things that the people in your studio are doing, and I think it's heartwarming and it's reassuring to say that, there's a silver lining at the end of this struggles that we are having as a country. And I just want to appreciate the good work that they are doing and the sacrifices that they are doing for us. And now I was saying to the producer that, one thing that the U.S. does very well is, it's to take care of its public servants, but also they do very well in terms of publicizing the good things that the police are doing. I know they get a bad rap as well for a lot of bad things, but there's transparency. You are able to follow a lot of things that the police are doing, and therefore that gives you a certain measure of reassurance.
Mm.
So hearing what these people are doing for us, it's personal sacrifices. Many of them put their lives in danger every single day when they walk out their doors. Something that the rest of us do not do. So I just want to say thank you so much to all of you guys. May the good Lord keep on, protecting you. This country has so much potential, and it's through the likes of you guys that we will be able to realize that potential. Just a question, a quick one, if I may. How do they think that, the culture can be changed within SAPS so that, people get to really love and show passion for what they do, because there's few of them that are doing this wonderful work, and a lot of people that are giving SAPS a bad rep. How do we change the culture to ensure that people really get to showcase their love for their country and their love for the countrymen to an extent that if ultimately we get a SAPS that can truly be representative of what we are as a country?
Yeah, Ronald and Forways, thank you, man, for your contribution. Captain Mabunda, I'll start with you. I'm sure you guys always hear, when you watch the news or you hear the radio, people talk bad about the police. They're corrupt. They're useless. They don't know what they're doing. Does that affect your morale? Because obviously, as always, we always say not all police officers are bad officers. There are police officers who are corrupt. There are police officers who are not passionate about their work. But there are also many good police officers out there who are passionate, who are doing everything possible to give their best. Yes, so when this negativity talk, does it affect your morale, or you just keep to the work and stay confident?
No, it is very bad, especially when you find these corrupt colleagues, because they are bedlining the name of the good organization.
Mm.
You know, what I can tell, like what Ronald said, is that we are all accountable.
Mm.
No one is above the law. If ever maybe you like being a complainant of the case, it's within your right to complain to any authority. You can go to my commander, go to whoever, to make sure justice is served.
Mm.
So it doesn't mean that when I'm corrupt, things must just stop here.
Mm.
Go there, complain, then they'll shift that particular case to another person.
Mm.
But it's my plea to my colleagues that let's serve our community with diligence.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And for you, Sergeant Rapagadi, this negativity, and how do you think we can get police officers who, to get them, those that are not strayed into the law and are passionately just offering services to the Republic, how do we get them to just understand that they are here to serve?
I normally say, guys, let us report and let us inquire. If you don't know something, you're not stupid. Inquire. If you don't understand, come to me, I'll explain. If I can't, go to my commander. If he can't, go to... The last person here is a president. You go up and up, inquire. Just find the truth and make you understand. Because some of us, we don't give our time to these people. That is why sometimes we have short temper to them. And yeah. So my advice is to my colleagues is that let's try to make these people understand. People doesn't know how law works. The procedures and the process, they don't know. But let us take our time to explain to them so that they can understand. Unless if you yourself you don't know what you're doing. But if you know what you're doing, explain to them. These people will understand. And be fair to them. Because sometimes you are not fair. So let me explain. If I explain to you, I must explain to you and tell you the truth.
Mm.
I mustn't lie to you. You expect more or expect something that I can't do.
Mm.
See, that is the most difficult thing. And normally when I get to the, because I'm working with the cold cases from the store. When I get there, they tell me the police have done this, the police. I said, no, please calm down.
Mm.
Give me a chance.
In fact, there's someone here, Lefa, who's calling us from Johannesburg, who's got a question related to that. Lefa, good morning.
Morning, Clement Albert.
I'm all right, man. Go ahead.
Good. I'd just like to greet the police officers up. Yeah, man, I watch a lot of medical detective shows, and I'd like to shine light on police officers, man. What they're doing is really inspiring. But I have a question. When it comes to cold case murders that they have in their files, how do they sleep at night? How do they feel with cold case murders? And then are there any positives for families that are going to such cases? And then how do they deal with such cases?
Mm. So as you were saying, Sergeant, they're cold cases. How do you guys deal with? Have you had some cold cases that you've cracked? And how old were they?
The oldest case that I had was 2007, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, so...
And it had been cold for how long?
You know, I can't remember well when was it closed, but it was in the store. It was filed.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what piqued your interest? Did people keep coming and saying, what's happening with this case? So you found the docket and you decided to...
Normally, we, as I told you, that we've got the tools in SAPS that helps us.
Mm.
So, or the complaint. Maybe the complaint goes up and then we get a call from up there as he's working national, I'm working provincial.
Mm.
So maybe they're not satisfied about the treatment from the station. Then maybe they send to the, as I told you, that they must report. It will go step. Yeah. When it comes to our office, then we throw the case. We start reading, go through, check if something is not done properly or was not done at all, and then we do those things. Yeah, that is what we are doing.
Okay. And for you, Sergeant Matebula, have you ever dealt with cold cases as well?
Yes, in many occasions. I do receive cold cases, whereby nowadays we do have our biology system is assisting us a lot through DNA lead, whereby we receive the cases which were closed as an undetected, whereby the suspect were unknown. So immediately when I receive a DNA lead, I go to the archives and retrieve all the cases and start working on them. I do metrics and see what was happening. From then, I follow up in each and every detail of the case up until I get to crack the cases.
Mm. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for responding to that. Let's
And to add more on that, Clement, you may find that some cases, not that police were negligent when they are filed.
Mm.
Investigation has been done properly, but at that particular time, the perpetrator is not yet known.
Mm.
For instance, a rape case. So until that person is arrested and swabs taken from him, it won't be easy to get to know that. So after swabs collected, send the DNA, they do the analysis, then you find that this person was busy doing these rapes for maybe so many years. So those cases where he raped 2099, whatever.
Mm.
So it comes out.
Mm.
Yes.
How slow is the system in government? Because sometimes when you deal with people in the state, they complain about how slow things move. Like when you, for instance, need forensic evidence, do you get it quickly?
Yes. Yes, Clement.
Mm.
Let me speak for me.
Mm.
I make sure that if I have sent something to the lab, I inform the NPA to write me a letter. I inform our principals, the generals, to also write me a letter, send it to the forensic to expedite that particular request.
Okay.
And it doesn't take time.
Okay.
Yes.
As long as you've got those supporting documents that say this needs to be quick.
Yeah, they prioritize it.
All right.
Yes.
Here's what's the voice note?
A good day, Clement, and good day to your guest. Clement, can you please ask your guest why on many occasions when there is a high-profile case, they tend to rope in the national detectives instead of using the local ones? Is that the right strategy? Because you find that the local detectives have got a relationship within the people in the community. Thanks, David.
Thank you, David. Is that the case sometimes when there's a high-profile case, they want to rope in the national guys, even though you guys are the one that started the work?
It's not exactly like that.
Uh-huh.
Remember, at the station, I worked at the station. The workload is way too much at the station, honestly. And sometimes, like the high-profile case, you have to do a lot of driving around, get knocked in there. My colleague was saying, you have to have relationship with the forensics. You must take time. You can't do that at the station level.
Mm.
The cases are popping in. You must attend to them.
Mm.
So now, one case you can spend a lot of time, the whole month working on one case, because of you must knock at different doors.
Mm.
But now, at the station level, it becomes sometimes difficult. So there are those stations that they might be capable, but mostly they can't. We've been struggling. On the cases I'm talking about that I was working on, I was at the station. They took me to provincial office because the cases were overlapping to other stations. So, but I couldn't go to other stations because I'm working at my jurisdiction, at my station area. So that is how it works. So it does not mean that they just steal the cases. So
they take it away.
Take it away. Yeah, no, okay. It's not exactly like that.
All right, here's another one.
Good day, Clement. My question to your guests today is that has it ever happened in their investigations and experience that maybe because of pressure from somewhere else when they were conducting their investigation they did not have sufficient evidence, but through their submissions they were able to sentence a person? And if that has ever happened, maybe find that maybe there was an appeal of some sort. If maybe say through appeal the sentenced person won the case again, and how do they feel about that experience? Because it can happen that you don't have sufficient evidence to take a person down, but because of pressure that might be coming from wherever, you end up having to see the guy going down, but with without sufficient evidence. Thanks, Mbuyiseni. I don't know if my question does make sense, though.
Yeah, I'll get back to it. Let's hear another one.
Good morning, Clement. Good morning, Clement, and your team. Clement, with your guest there, the police officers there, I would like to say big up to them and let them continue with the sterling job that they are doing. It's not easy to be a policeman or woman in South Africa because there is too much crime and corruption, and some of the other police officers are selling their own police officers in terms of giving out the information as to who is handling the case. And like the other guy said now, he said the criminal told him straight in the face that your colleagues told me where you stay. So it's not easy to be a police officer, but may God give them strength so they can continue a good work. Ivory Park. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, Clement and the team and 702 listeners. I'd like to say to the guys, please keep up doing the great job that you are doing for our country. It's not about yourself, but it's for our country, and I'm proud of you. Thank you.
Okay, I'll get the investigators to respond after the break. I see your calls as well coming through. We'll get to them.
Across the Desk
with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
7 minutes before 11 o'clock. Let's take Sergeant Mbonambi, who's calling us from Johannesburg. Sergeant Mbonambi, good morning.
Morning, Clement. How are you, sir?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm good, my brother.
Mm.
You know, I'm and good morning to my colleagues there, all of you guys.
Morning.
I'm so excited, guys. Thank you so much for the good work. Thank you for changing the status quo, for putting us there on the map. Because remember, the perception in the public is that police can't do their job. Police are not working.
Mm.
Guys, I'm so excited, and I hope and I pray that our management are able to. And there's a lot of Mabundas there. You just need to unearth them, put them, and give them a platform to excel. I'm really happy, guys. I really thank you so much for changing this perception. I know Clement is not easy. You know that the work that you are doing.
Mm.
You go home, you're looking back at your shoulder. Who's following you?
Mm.
You go out of your gate, you look around. Who's standing there? Because you don't know. These cases we are dealing with very dangerous people. But because you took an oath, you're not going to back down. Just gonna go forward, but guys, thank you so much. I'm really happy.
Yeah,
thanks, really happy.
No, thanks to you as well, Sergeant Mbonambi, who's calling us from Johannesburg. Someone earlier sent a WhatsApp voice note asking about feeling being put under pressure to make arrests when there's no sufficient evidence. Has there been cases like that? Like maybe if it's a high profile case where South Africans are really concerned, maybe a rape of a child. Or a case that's really taken over in the media, and then now the police minister, the national commissioner, they want an arrest as soon as possible, but you guys are not ready to effect an arrest.
Clement, I always say this. Mm. You must investigate in order to effect an arrest. Mm. But don't arrest to investigate. If you arrest to investigate, that's when you find that the cases are thrown out of court. Because remember, people have got rights. So they have got the right to a speedy trial.
Yeah.
So I'll beg the public to bear with us. Like me personally, I don't succumb to pressure. I do my work first. But you must give complainant feedback.
Mm-hmm.
That no, I can't arrest this person because for now I don't have sufficient evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So you must get sufficient evidence first. So that can be a procedure for it.
Yeah.
So about the person, I heard him saying that now the person is convicted. No, that's not our department.
Yeah.
It's just a department. It's in court.
Yeah.
So I don't think that there will be any court that will just sentence a person without sufficient evidence.
So, Sergeant Rapakhadi, do you sometimes deal with DNA backlog? Someone is also asking about pathology reports, especially in a murder case, for instance. How do the delays in pathology results impact your cases? Can you conclude from the report how a person died and position they were in when the incident occurred? They're asking because they're still waiting for their cousin's pathology report 7 months later. So do those delayed reports sometimes impact on the work?
Yeah, it depends what was taken from the corpse.
Mm.
Sometimes it's a body pass, they take it there, they must test for drugs or whatsoever. It sometimes takes a long.
Mm.
But they must bear with us and then they must make follow up. I remember, Clement, here in South Africa, we don't have database for DNA.
Mm.
We don't have. So if you commit something that DNA was needed, we don't have.
Mm.
Until you get your DNA, you got arrested or DNA somehow, that is when we're going to identify you.
Mm.
So we only have database for fingerprint, but it's still, that one is still, it's under Home Affairs, remember. Mm. It's not controlled by SAPS.
Okay.
So we make an application if you want to inquire, whatever. So those are the processes. So people must come to us and inquire, we'll explain, so that they can understand what is exactly happening in here.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to wrap up maybe with a few more messages. One person says, Clement, good morning. Please send my regards to those brave police officers there in studio. And I hope we as the public can also do better to facilitate their work. I also have a call here from someone who wants to salute Captain Mabunda. Good morning. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good, man. Go ahead.
I'm good, man. That's Mabunda.
Mm, go ahead.
Hi, Melia. You know what? I would like just to say congratulations for the great job that you've done, you know.
Thank you very much, sir.
You've done a huge job. You have saved a lot of families, you know. Like, people now, they try to see that they can no longer gonna do whatever they're intending to do regarding this issue of politics.
Mm. Yeah, Stokey.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And thanks to you guys for making time to come to studio with us, Captain Mabunda, Sergeant Matebula, and Sergeant Ra Pakhadi. I appreciate you guys coming here and chatting to us about your work. And thank you for the work that you do for this country.
I just want to say this before we wrap up, Clement. Mm. I was a sergeant when I came here. I think that's June last year.
I remember.
Yeah, so I want to tell my colleagues there in Tzaneen,
yeah.
Please, you're set a bar, continue doing that.
Yeah.
You'll get a reward.
Wonderful.
Yes.
That's incredible. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's a minute before 11.